From Phoenix to Fredonia, Tucson to Tuba City, the Arizona Department of Transportation is connecting Arizona. Everyone, everywhere, every day. Now you're connected to On the Road with ADOT.
Well, good day, good evening, whatever it might be when you're listening to this podcast. Okay, so it's a publication that's produced by the Arizona Department of Transportation, has all sorts of great art, colors, and words. Of course, I'm speaking of the Motor Vehicle Division Driver License Manual. No, thought I'd throw you for a loop. No. I'm talking about a really unique publication called Arizona Highways. Hello, my name is Doug, and we're here at the ADOT podcast with a terrific person, Kelly Merrow, the publisher of the literally world-renowned Arizona Highways. Thanks for taking some time with us, Kelly.
Good morning, Doug. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, thanks. We're glad to have you here. So I bet a lot of people have familiarity with Arizona Highways. If for no other reason, if they're going through a gift shop at the airport, or they get the calendar that you put out every year as a gift, or whatever it might be, tell us, why does an Arizona Department of Transportation, we build highways, we maintain highways, we license drivers, all the things, why do we have a magazine like this?
Great question, Doug. You know, it started off in April 1925.
That long ago?
That long ago.
My goodness. Had photography been invented?
I mean, not quite. I think it was more illustration.
It was a little bit different then, wasn't it?
It was definitely different, for sure. But it really started off as a pamphlet to inform the residents of Arizona about the highway systems that ADOT was developing for them. And then probably till about 1938, when Ray Carlson came in, the sixth editor at the time, and he's the one who really kind of introduced pictures and said, let's kind of transform this publication.
So initially, because in those days, in the 20s and 30s, you know, having a car and driving up to Prescott was a big deal if you could do it. So you really needed this to say, hey, you know, this is how you get from A to B.
Exactly.
And so to say the name again, the gentleman who came in and really juiced this up.
Raymond Carlson.
And what was his inspiration? Do we know? What he decided, hey, I'm going to take this to a whole new level?
You know, that is a great question. And when you have our next guest, Robert Steve, our editor, okay, who really has done a really terrific job of researching Raymond, we'll have a better answer.
Okay, that's a good way we can generate more content for this thing. Cool. So he started it, and it really just took off.
Yeah, he really showcased the beauty of what our state has, and we're so fortunate to live in such a wonderful state that has so much diverseness to it. He really had a vision about, let's show it to the world.
And is this something that other states have? I've never heard of, like, I don't know, not to offend anybody, like Delaware highways or Louisiana highways. You don't hear about much like this. I'm sure there are some quote-unquote competitors, but it's not that common, is it?
No, it's not that common. But actually, there are quite a few state publications. Texas Highways, there is a Delaware publication.
See, I knew you would know that. It's very small, I assume. No.
Yeah, Oklahoma, there's quite a few states that do have them. They're run somewhat a little bit differently in the sense that a lot of them do a lot of advertising, where we're not big on advertising for just certain reasons.
Right.
Their business model is a little bit different for them.
Yeah, that's a nice thing. When you're paging through Arizona highways, you're getting content, photos, that's kind of kind and nice, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, we want that. In a day with so much content these days, you want to have good content that you
no pop-up ads or anything
that's
like
right.
that, and
that's right,
cards coming out. What does it take to get an edition put together? I mean, you're not just doing this a month out or anything.
No, we're years in advance.
Years.
Yeah, Robert and his team, and I keep speaking of Robert. Robert's our editor in chief, and his team are ones that are.
Oh, we're going to kick you out and get him in.
Exactly. But seriously, we're 6 months out at least in advance of what publication we're already done. So I was just looking on our design wall was the I think it was the July issue.
Yeah.
Already, that's going to press. So. But we're right. Well in advance. Just we had that luxury, again, because we're not ad-driven, so we don't have to worry about certain sponsorships coming out at certain times. But yeah.
It must be difficult, and again, this may be a better question for Robert, but it must be difficult in general to think about Christmas in July, for one thing, but also to keep it fresh, because you've got to avoid, you know, repeating some, oh yeah, we did that angle for Christmas, or we did that angle for spring in 2004. Well, it's, you know, maybe we want to freshen that up. You've got to be thinking about those things.
Oh, you absolutely do. And Robert and his team, again, have done a great job going back and look at the history. But there is so much diversity and things that have changed within mm-hmm. our state that truly do allow us to influence and focus on great communities and people. You know, Grand Canyon's never going to go anywhere, so thank goodness for that.
Thank goodness, yeah, really. Yeah. As the publisher, what really do you vision your role as? Because, I mean, everybody knows a publisher somehow is a guy who, or a woman, who's in charge of the whole schlemiel, so to speak. But what do you do, really?
Truly look at the business and the operational side and the strategic thinking going forward. Just oversight, truly. I myself love to get involved with a lot of the sales and sponsorship stuff. I personally handle a couple of key accounts for us on our retail side that are very large. Mm-hmm. So that's just some of the fun. But really, it's the oversight of the whole business and to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing and leaving our legacy the way we're supposed to leave it.
When you think of the legacy, what is that legacy?
Oh, gosh. You know, it is profound in the sense that it is so well respected and so well regarded that it is unique in that sense, working for the publication, because you go to work and you never hear anybody say, oh, Arizona Highways, oh, I've never heard of that, or that horrible publication. That just doesn't happen.
Who do you hear from? I mean, obviously you probably get cards and letters and emails from just folks, but have you heard from any people that would go, oh my goodness, I can't believe that somebody in New Zealand or whatever reads this thing?
Oh yeah, no, we have subscribers all 50 states and 100 countries. Absolutely, it's amazing. They are so, you know, you look at people from Germany, we probably have, I think, about roughly 5,000 subscribers there. They are just so enthralled with our landscape and just the majestic of our beautiful deserts that they don't see over there. And it just it entices them.
I experienced that when a few years ago I had occasion to go up to Kingman for work-related purposes, and I had to spend a couple nights up there doing something, and the hotel was just jammed with European tourists, and they were going to places like Seligman to see all the stores that have really made themselves into kind of a 50s theme in that whole town. Yeah. And there's tour buses that go into those places, so the Europeans and, of course, a lot of Asians and Japanese and so forth, they come over here. We must have a pretty good footprint, I would suppose, in Asia as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And that's, you know, goes back to driving that tourism, that economy, because those rural communities that they really serve, in which what we really focus on is the ones that don't have the large marketing funds like the Phoenixes and the Scottsdales. Mm-hmm. And so to showcase that travel and that tourism has such a huge impact on those communities, it's really goes very far.
So when we talk about reach, has there been any place that you went, I can't believe we got to there?
Yeah, I think we have one subscriber in Uganda.
Uganda?
Yeah.
Wow.
So you're kind of like, wow, that's pretty interesting.
I imagine, you ever think about maybe sending them down to just as gratis down to Antarctica so those folks have something to look at, those scientists down there?
Not a bad idea.
There might be a few laying around out there. So what, when you hear about our reach, what do you get most of your feedback regarding? Is it the terrific copy, the stories, the histories? Is it the photography? Is there any one?
It's all. All of the above. People write to us for everything. Every story that we do, photography, people that we've focused, introduced into the community, all sorts. So it's not just one particular thing. It's everybody has a voice. And even on the social media side, everybody has their voice. So we hear from everyone.
And I'm sure most of it is complimentary, but I imagine you find some reason to make a few improvements. We're all about improvement here at ADOT, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, you can't make everybody happy, but you try to do your best. But, you know, some people aren't as when we showcase like artwork. We're like, where's the beautiful photography? It's like, well, the beauty is art, you know, so enjoy this. This is a local artist. But, yeah, so it's that kind of feedback.
Yeah, well, I guess you can always flip past that section and go to something else, right?
Exactly.
That's the beauty of it all. Exactly. Barry Goldwater was, I assume still is. God rest his soul. The man passed away 25 years ago or something like that. But an icon in Arizona, but he still kind of resonates through the pages, doesn't he?
Absolutely, he does. He actually shot, we did the first color publication in the history of all publications, Times, and all those other ones. He did the first color cover for us.
Really?
Yeah. And so.
Do you remember what it was?
Yeah. It was up on the reservations with the two Navajo children and their sheep. And it was like in the middle of winter, and they had their beautiful draped over them.
I've seen that. Yeah, sure.
I think it was December, I want to say 1940. I'm losing my date on here, but it was into December.
I remember reading a biography of Goldwater, and it talked about how he would, because he lived here in the Phoenix area. Of course, right. his heritage is Prescott, but he would decide at some point, well, I'm going to go take 6 weeks or whatever, pack up his vehicle. And in those days, you know, we didn't have Interstate 17 or Interstate 40 or anything like that. It was two lane roads, and you had to kind of trundle your way through Black Canyon City up to Prescott, or not Black Canyon, but get kind of hooked around that way and go and spend 6 weeks up on the Navajo Reservation, the Hopi Reservation, and just take pictures. And there must be a whole treasure trove of that.
Oh, he did so much. And he had special access to that most people never got or still won't get. But he had really good strong relationships with those folks up there. I mean, there were some stories I heard, like one winter he took his plane and threw hay out the back for the cattle and stuff up on the Navajo Reservation. And that's just, you know, amazing stories like that.
Fascinating character.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when we think of Arizona highways, you know, I'm a native. You've lived here. You're a native too, correct?
I wasn't born here.
You weren't born here. Okay, that doesn't count then.
That's right.
Sorry.
Exactly what my wife says.
Oh, she is a native.
She is a native.
Well, see, okay. I went to school in Oklahoma, college in Oklahoma. So did some of my other family members. So you go to a state like that, which is great state, great people. And you tell people who've never been to Arizona that you're from here, and they think immediately think of, I think that's, you know, that image of Star Wars where they're out there in the sand dunes, not too far from Arizona, but actually in California, I might add, that, and you tell them, oh, we've got like the largest acreage of ponderosa pine in the world and stuff like that. They get surprised. My point is, I guess, what does this publication, your calendars and all the electronic media you have, and of course the magazine itself, what does that mean to the image of the state of Arizona?
Oh, it's keeping that legacy alive, truly about how well we have showcased this state to the rest of the world and how well we continue to do that. It just, you know, 97 years we're passing up on, coming up on 100 years of our anniversary. So that's a huge milestone, but it's just continuing that. What Ray Carlson, our original founder, who said, you know, hey, this is showcase the beauty in the best way we can with beautiful photographers and elegant words.
How long did he do that job?
I think he was in there for like 18 years.
That's a pretty good run.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
So when we talk about the image of Arizona and bringing that home, how much attention do you guys pay to making sure you get all not the region of Four Corners, but all four corners of the state? As we were talking a little bit earlier about being kind of a de facto marketing arm for the Seligmans and the Pages and the Bisbees of the world. You really have to pay a lot of attention to that and spread the wealth, don't you?
We do. But that's the great thing about our state. There is so much wealth. I don't care if you're in the south or you're in the north or the east or the west. There is just something spectacular to be found all over.
Do you get more resonance on any one particular area, do you think?
I don't have any back data to kind of support that. I don't have an answer for that one, to tell you the truth.
Okay. Everybody thinks
it's interesting, though.
Do we ever fight the image that the Grand Canyon belongs to Colorado or something like that?
You mean Nevada?
Or Nevada, where we get that a lot, don't we?
We do. And Nevada licenses it as, I shouldn't say like, they advertise it as their Grand Canyon.
Well, we need to do something about that. We need to get some beefy guys to go up there and just put a stop to that. I'm thinking we might have a few people at ADOT who come into that qualification. What would you like if you had your druthers? What would you want the average person who's maybe not familiar with the state or with your publication to know about it?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. And there was a study that was done, and I can't remember who did it, but it said over 55% of Maricopa residents have never been to the Grand Canyon. And that's shocking, but that's not uncommon. It happens all around the world.
Really? Well, like, yeah, how many New Yorkers really go to the Statue of Liberty?
Exactly. But in my mind, you know, then we have so many people that are moving into this state, and I would just love to touch into those people to truly show them, hey, if, you know, not only do we have the Grand Canyon, but we have so much more that is so close and so accessible that you really can have a really phenomenal time in the state no matter where you go.
So we keep getting the word out, like doing podcasts like this one. All right. Kelly Merrow is the publisher of Arizona Highways, and he has spent a few minutes with us talking about some of the great things that those guys are doing. We'll touch base again, Kelly, and talk more about what you guys are doing. We'll get some more of your folks in your publication over here to get the treatment of the podcast.
Sounds great.
We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks for spending some time on the road with ADOT. To learn more about ADOT, visit our website at azdot.gov, where you can also connect with our links to Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, Flickr, and YouTube. That's at azdot.gov. Goodbye for now, and thanks for being on the road with ADOT.